This is the Soundcheck Podcast from newsounds.org and streaming live on Facebook. I'm John Schaefer. The band Umphrey's McGee is celebrating its 20th anniversary the way they've spent much of the past 20 years, by touring. Yes, they've just released a new album. It's their 11th. It's called It's Not Us. And yes, it covers a ton of musical territory. But let's face it, this is a band that you need to see live. Today, Umphrey's McGee is playing live for us in the Soundcheck studio. And they're going to start us off with a song called Half Delayed. Nice. That's Umphrey's McGee live here in the Soundcheck studio with a song called Half Delayed. You'll find it on the new record, their 11th, called It's Not Us. Let me introduce you to the members of the band. Brenton Bayliss singing, playing guitar. Jake Singer also playing guitar. He'll be singing in a couple of minutes. Joel Cummins at our piano, providing some backing vocals. Ryan Stasek on the bass. Chris Myers is behind our drum kit, and Andy Farag is playing all the rest of the percussion, little kit of his own to my left. And guys, happy anniversary, and welcome to the studio. Great to have you here.
Glad to be here, man. Appreciate it.
So, Brendan, let me ask you about the genesis of this album. I understand the Chicago Cubs are somehow involved.
Very briefly, we had a weird gig on a Thursday, and we had a Friday off. And I flew home on a Friday, and my wife was out. My kids were at daycare, so I walked up to Wrigley Field, bought a standing room only ticket. And I sat down, and I was thinking about, okay, this is awesome. I have a weekend off, and I'm a very lucky man, and we're about to have a 20-year anniversary coming up. How cool would it be to put out new stuff instead of regurgitating the old hits, so to speak? Because we have so many hits.
Well, this from a band whose first album was called Greatest Hits Volume 3. So you guys were kind of prepped for the hits thing from day one.
Overzealous from the get-go.
Are you a fan? I mean, it was, first of all, important to say what season it was that this happened in, right?
This was basically before the year we won the World Series.
Yeah.
And so,
we being the Chicago Cubs?
Oh, yes. I mean, I thought it was just assumed.
You're but in New York City, though.
So we all basically, we were in the studio the week after the Cubs won the World Series. I actually played a private gig the Friday night for the team. Was hungover Saturday, played a private gig with Ryan, Joel, and Jake, and was hungover Sunday to start the sessions with jovial spirits. It was probably the funnest I've ever been around these guys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was
Jake,
not
is
by
that
accident.
True?
Well, it's, you know, sometimes the studio can be a daunting place for a band to spend 16 hours a day in, so coming in sort of lighthearted and light-footed was a nice way to start sessions off, almost like, oh, is this what's to become of this record here?
So what becomes of the record once it's done and you guys, road warriors that you are, start taking these songs out on tour? Do you find that some songs just kind of stay record tracks and others kind of open up and become vehicles for the live set?
Yeah, I think we definitely try to play everything. That's like, we're not scared of it. You know, something that's a little bit more hard in the arrangement department or with a lot of bells and whistles from the studio department, mm-hmm. a lot of color, we've got to go in there and try to figure out what's going to be the best arrangement for the six of us instead of the 20 guitars that might be on right. that track. How do you right. dither that down and make an arrangement for the live means? Yeah, and then it's also nice to find a spot in that song to put a little 10-minute jam or sorts and then get back to it at the end of it.
But I guess what I'm asking is, can you find an appropriate spot for that 10-minute jam in every song, or are there some songs where the format is so tight that it's kind of self-contained?
Yeah, I think it depends per song. Some songs make more sense than others. A lot of times it's not that beneficial to have six people in the band, but when you're trying to cover what you're doing in the studio, it really helps out.
Yeah.
So we, you know, figure out what the best live arrangement for stuff is and then go from there. But it can be different every time, too.
It's funny that Joel says it depends on the song. I think it depends on the band member, because Joel would like to put a jam into every single song.
Wait till you hear the next You and You Alone.
To be quite honest, I think tempo and key signature sometimes has a little bit to do with it. When a song's a little bit more lower in the pocket, might not be as good of a jam vehicle. So I think having that upper heartbeat sort of tempo kind of tends to lead to a better resolve for an improvisation.
Yeah. Of course, you can change all that stuff.
Yeah, we can move the tempo, move the key signature. Yeah, sure.
And how much of that happens on the fly, night to night?
Most of it. Well, I mean, I guess tempo and key signature are fixed to start, but then if it's not working, we'll change it, and if it's working, we'll stay there.
Right.
Like for a song like Silent Type in the studio, we did it in D. Mm-hmm. And right when we first sang it, I realized that Peter Brady was moving in. So I asked the guys if we could drop it a half step. So we're already
an illusion that I'm afraid will be lost on about three quarters of our audience at this point.
Time to change.
That's me.
Rearrange. That's the song.
Classic episode of the Brady Bunch, for those of you wondering what the hell these people are on about. Now, the last album, Zonkey, that was all mashups.
Yeah.
So it seems like this might be a big pivot. But on the other hand, this album really covers stylistically as much ground as it seems this band ever has. You know, from folk to funk to metal to pop.
It just always seemed like maybe in the last 10 years there was like sort of this prerequisite to, like, if you're going to put out an album, it's got to have direction and it's got to all sound the same and it's got to reflect the hit that's on the song, all the other songs. It's like that seemed to be sort of cornered. I think we're just a little too diverse as songwriters and as players to, like, kind of be, well, this record should sound like this
right.
or that. So it was it's really liberating to actually be able to put out something as diverse and it be listened to. Nowadays it's kind of tough to pull off.
Yeah, I love that. I think it was Manny and Greg that actually suggested putting You and You Alone after Remind Me. And I feel like that's one of those moments where you have this extreme contrast.
Oh, my goodness. Remind Me in one track. Yeah. You know, it's like schizophrenia doesn't do it just. It's like multiple personalities there. Yeah. It goes from funk to a kind of rock ballad to some sort of metal thing all in the space of one song.
Yep.
That seems kind of tailor-made to being kind of stretched out. Yeah. Do you have a verb for that? McGee-ified or umphersized?
We're kind of beyond nomenclature.
Good vocab.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So let me ask you one more question about just not this album, but albums in general. Because when you guys got started, grabbing the brass ring meant you had the album and you toured so people would go and buy the album. Mm-hmm. It's now completely the reverse, where the album is your calling card so you can get the dates to tour. But it seems like you guys, that was your model from day one, you know? It always seems like you were intended, Brendan, to be a live band.
From the beginning, we've always kind of been set up for this kind of moment. I never really thought about it until you just said it like that. But the way the record industry works now, it kind of hurts people like Britney Spears, and it hurts people that aren't actively touring. And this is who we are, what we do, what we've been doing, what we will be doing, and it's, I guess we've just been waiting for the world to catch up to us.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely started when we were getting going. We thought, okay, if we can get enough people to come see us in different markets, a major label is going to notice us and sign us. And that never happened. And, you know, we eventually started our own record label. Mm-hmm. But it's funny, in the past, you know, 5 or 6 years, I've had people saying to me, man, Umphrey's did it the right way. You guys didn't sign with anybody. We wish we would have done that. Yeah. So smart. You know, we're like, no, just nobody wanted us.
Yeah. I think one of the...
Look at Joel. He's just so happy sitting behind our beaming Steinway.
That's true.
He's got Joel's a Steinway beaming grand piano to play.
Chris Mitchell doesn't let me play the acoustic pianos. He's a very, very hard-nosed front-of-house engineer. So this is a nice opportunity. Christmas is flight today, so as a result, we have the grand pianos everywhere we go.
And also having a large repertoire starting off, we could play, you know, 4 nights in a row without repeating anything. So all of a sudden, you have a fan base that can see you night after night and not necessarily see the same thing every night. So that to me was really sort of the DNA to get the people coming out.
Yeah. All right. So 21st is the actual anniversary of the band. Mm-hmm. The new album is called It's Not Us. It's the 11th, the latest from Umphrey's McGee. And now, Jake, on this next track, you're going to sing lead, right?
Yes.
Okay, here's a song called Looks, live on Soundcheck.
Suddenly I lit to sleep with your head upon the floor again. It's your only friend. Message was sent to the wrong address in the meantime. Couldn't help but miss. Down and in and out again. To read your present tense with your head upon the floor again. It's your only friend. Ooh. Busted up inside your head. Never empty bird that jumps over. Put your head upon the floor again. It's your only friend. Saw you last night standing in front of your window. Don't break the glass. searching for signs and symbols. Never like the looks of this. Suddenly a little slip. With your head upon the floor again. It's your only friend.
Humphreys McGee live with a song called Looks from the new album called It's Not Us. Is there a little irony in the title, It's Not Us, when this album clearly is almost like a statement of who you guys are?
Well, it kind of goes back to what you were just saying about the last 20 years and what Jake was saying about people coming four nights in a row. When we first started playing, it was our college dorm like roommates, all six of them. And then we realized after the third time that we played the same set that there were five or four coming.
Right.
So we had to change the way we approached things by thinking about how do we make them interested. So when you get out of the way of thinking about yourself and your importance of it, and you realize that these are the people that are providing not only for you and everybody in the band, but our wives, our children, the crew, we've got like, so it's really, it's about the fans.
Right. Which is kind of like a politician saying it's all about the constituents. You know, it's right. Nice to hear, but it's very rarely put into practice.
Right.
You guys practice what you preach. I mean, the fan experience, what is the state of the art right now? What's really exciting you about the things that you can do for the fans at an Humphreys McGee concert?
I think there's a cool notion that's known throughout the crowd that when we walk into something, it's like off the cuff and genuine, kind of like old school jazz artists would approach their music, but this is a rock and roll vortex, but we're going to use some of this jazz mentality in this rock and roll realm. So a lot of that, what jazz artists take years to figure out, just how to play comfortably in an improvisational atmosphere, is one thing I think that people come to see. You know what I mean? That's what they take home.
But you guys have been kind of at the forefront of using technology to kind of make the experience bigger, I guess, for the fans. It's not just like allowing them, you know, Grateful Dead-wise to plug into the soundboard and to share tapes and stuff. I mean, what else can fans expect in 2018 if they come and see you guys?
So Joel? A couple years ago, we started something called Headphones and Snow Cones, which I don't think any other band has really done at a show. Snow Cones, by the way, this is a title from an old album. Snow Cones are basically Budweisers. Is that correct? Yeah. Specifically? Yeah. Okay. And so fans can come to the show and rent a set of headphones and get a matrix mix of what's happening at front of house and a little bit of some audience mics. And so you get the concert experience in stereo detail no matter where you are in the room. You know, walk out, send your friend out to get a beer, give them the headphones so they can hear the show still. Not going to necessarily recommend the bathroom. You know, we want to promote hygiene, but, you know, you can basically take them anywhere in the venue. I think that's something that has really given people a more detail-oriented experience of our live show where they can hear every little nuance. And that's not something that's that typical at a live show. So people that want to get deeper into it can do it.
And even if you're outdoors, you know, like a place like Red Rocks where, you know, it's a pretty great sound system, but still you're outdoors and there's a lot of diffusion of the sound.
Yeah, it can be
sound.
Wind, yeah. Just takes away the high end or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, I need to backtrack politically real quick because I just realized something that maybe people can look forward to is less control. The last few years, we've almost been catering to the fans to the point where their opinions, while they're very valued, they're almost dictating what we're doing how we're doing it.
Crowdsourcing the set list, that
exactly.
sort of thing.
Like Joel has a Twitter
account. Speak for yourself,
account.
Man. Speak for yourself.
And there's a lot of times where Joel will show up with a song list, like, hey, why don't we play these songs? And a few of the guys, actually everybody else, will look at him and say, is that for you, or is it for a Twitter friend, or is it for right. some internet interjection? So... we almost need to, there's a fine line, right, yeah, between stupid yeah. and clever.
Well, and the problem is that, you know, I just had my birthday the other day, and so I picked songs that I wanted to play, and it was much worse than if I had fan-sourced it, so.
It was, yeah. actually. What did Stasic looked at the set list? He goes, gross. Core yeah, of the week, right?
We send a group text message each day, you know, when somebody has something written, and then there's a running commentary afterwards, so that part is always an entertaining few hours of the day.
So you guys have just announced that you're going to do Red Rocks again, mm-hmm. and once again, this will be a residency, July 5th, 6th, 7th. And Jake and Brendan, you've both mentioned the advantage of playing night after night, mm-hmm. you know, in the same venue where the audience can kind of go on a journey through, it's not the same show every night. So how does that work then over the course of three nights? Does Joel get a night and then Jake,
oh,
you
no.
get a night?
Or... No, we always look at what we played last year. So we can go on our website, and there's like sort of an algorithm that sets up all the shows that we've done. Mm-hmm. So we go back and sort of stay away from that particular right. run of songs, especially in that order or whatever. We're going to come across a few. But I think purposely really walking into each time we come back to a room, it's a fresh batch of songs. And be cognizant of that.
Now, you guys played the first Bonnaroo, mm-hmm. you know, before it became the kind of, I mean, it was a lot of bands, but it wasn't the iconic thing that it has since become. I mean, what do you think of going back there? And, you know, is it a different kind of thing now?
I've got a good one for you. The first Bonnaroo was the biggest thing we'd ever done. It was mm-hmm. the hugest crowd we've ever had. And during the close to the end of the set where everything was going perfectly well, the power went out. So we're literally up there on stage. Drum solo.
Quick.
8 minutes later.
We hope you like our new direction.
Yes.
Yes. But I mean, really, playing that
Odyssey. You had your Spinal Tap moment, right?
Yeah,
there,
and it was an unauthorized photographer who stepped on a power cable and knocked the stage power out.
Figure.
That's who it was, yeah. But remember when I said you invite Humphries McGee and you know technically something's going to happen? Yeah, there it was.
So It's Not Us is the name of the new record, the 11th studio band, but there are various DVDs, live recordings, etc., and then gazillions of these fan-made recordings of the live sets that get passed around. The one we're going to hear next, Speak Up, this is getting towards the funk end of things, right, mm-hmm. Brendan?
Yeah.
All right, so let's hear another live performance, and then we'll talk about beer. Somebody mentioned Budweiser before. I think that was Joel, but we'll talk about real beer in a minute. I've upset the bass player. That's never a good idea. Humphries McGee playing live on Soundcheck.
Little thing that I
Right then, an Umphrey's McGee concert broke out towards the end of that song, which is called Speak Up from the latest album by Umphrey's McGee called It's Not Us. Before we wrap up, guys, who can tell me about the Umphrey's McGee beer?
Ooh.
Well, we have a beer called Nothing Too Fancy Pale Ale.
Uh-huh.
And it's a light, crisp, refreshing, medium-bodied 4.8% alcohol.
Okay, so it's a session ale.
Yeah. It's a drinkability. We're going to call it game day ale, so you could drink it all day.
It's a day drinker. It's a night drinker.
Mm-hmm. And is it readily obtainable, or is it regional?
Well, Rock Brothers in Florida brew it, and it's distributed through Boulder Beer through Denver.
Okay.
Or Boulder, Colorado. You can get it in Chicago. It's not a global phenomenon yet.
Right.
I believe we have cans now, though, which was a big deal. You know, for a while, we were only doing the kegs, you know, in bars and stuff. So I think at some point, you will be able to buy cans of this.
All right. Look for that. Nothing Too Fancy Pale Ale. Mm-hmm. From the band Umphrey's McGee, It's Not Us is the new record. And then Red Rocks, July 5th through 7th. Guys, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming in and playing for us today.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
This is Soundcheck.
We get so far removed from
That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other performances, video shot in the studio, the daily gig alerts, weekly music roundups, new sound shows, and more. Check it out at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us. Search for us.